Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the last line of the Mishnah, last line of the Yomid, Shekenek Dechashar El Shavuah. As we began learning the Mishnah in the previous shir, the Mishnah had taught us that under normal circumstances when the Torah mandates a Shavuah, the Shavuah is Nishbon V'loi Mishalman. You make a Shavuah, and by making the Shavuah, you're exempt from paying. Again, the classical example is Moed V'Miktzis, where somebody admits partially that he has an obligation. The Torah tells him to swear and that he doesn't owe any more, and he is off the hook. As the Mishnah began, the Mishnah identified a number of exceptions to the rule where halacha is Nishbon V'loi Mishalman. The person, Nishbon, on the contrary, Nishbon V'Noitlin. They swear, and after they swear, they collect what they're entitled to. And the Mishnah, in the previous year, we learned, identified a number of those situations. And the case we're up to is Shekeneg D'Chashar L'Shvuah, where the party, who is the other litigant, who should be making the Shvuah, and the Gemara is going to explain this, is unable to make a Shvuah, the Mishnah is going to explain it, is unable to make a Shvuah. So instead of him making a Shvuah and being off the hook, on the contrary, the other person will make the Shvuah. I saw from Aaron Leib Malin, to explain the Mishnah. He says, we aren't to understand the Mishnah that this person who's a Chashar L'Shvuah is unable to make a Shvuah. Rather, what it means is, he says, the Bezdin won't tell him to make a Shvuah. But let's say he makes a Shvuah, because Bezdin made an error, or for whatever reason, then his Shvuah is going to be accepted. Here, Bezdin, knowing who this individual is, will not ask him to make a Shvuah. Furthermore, I saw Machlokes Rishonim. How do we know that somebody's Chashar L'Shvuah? So the Rambam says, you have to have two Edom. You have to have two Edom come and say that this individual is a person, the Mishnah is going to explain soon, what makes a person Chashar L'Shvuah, and two people saying Edus, that he's a Chashar L'Shvuah. Other Rishonim disagree. And other Rishonim say that somebody could walk into Bezdin and say that I should not be trusted on a Shvuah. What's the obvious question? Another makes Matzma Rasha. So how could somebody testify that he's disqualified to be an aid? So I sort of mafarshim explained those Rishonim. We have actually two conflicting, very well-known halachic principles here. On one hand, as I just said, we have the principle of Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Rasha. We also have the principle of Hoidos Atzmoi, Hoidos Baldin Kamei Edom Dami. And when somebody coming in saying that he can't make a Shvuah, he's essentially saying that I can't be involved in a monetary affair. I can't cause somebody to pay, or I shouldn't pay. And therefore, the principle, according to these Rishonim, of Hadas Baldin Kmei Edom Dami, is stronger than the principle of Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Rasha. And according to these Rishonim, somebody could walk into Bezdin and say on himself, I am a Chashar L'Shvuah, and Bezdin will accept that statement. Ketzad. So explains the Mishnah. Echad Shvuas Eidus. If somebody has violated Shavuos Eidus. Again, let's go back to what we learned extensively earlier in our Masechta. Somebody was approached to say Eidus, to come say testimony, and he lied that he doesn't know. He swore falsely that he doesn't know. Such a person is considered a Chashar L'Shvuah. So Rishayim asked the obvious question. How can we know for sure that the person was lying? Maybe, even though he knew Eidus, he forgot. Everybody forgets. So this person, when he was approached to come say testimony about something that he knew, and he said, I don't know, it isn't because he's a lawyer, it's because he forgot. So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer the Rishonim suggests is going back to what I just said. He says himself, I lied. I, Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Rasha, Hadas Baldin is stronger than Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Rasha. Other Rishonim give two other answers I saw in the Rishonim. One is that indeed, what happened was that the person who was approached to say testimony says, I don't know testimony. And indeed, there's a legitimate possibility they forgot. But there were other people there who knew that he knew testimony, and they tried to prod him, to remind him to say his testimony, and still said, I don't know. That's an indication that he's saying a lie. Because if he was reminded, he should have said it. A third pshat, I have a little difficulty understanding this pshat, is that if something happened a while ago, you could say he forgot. But if something happened recently, It's hard to believe that he forgot. We know people forget things that happened recently also. V'achet Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaPikadon means, also what we learned, where somebody lied falsely, swore falsely that he doesn't have a Pikadon when he actually does. V'afil Shavuos Shav, as we learned earlier, the two examples of Shavuos Shav. A Shavuos Shav is either somebody says something which is patently false, somebody says that this wood table is made out of gold, or says something, somebody says something which is totally unnecessary. He says that he made a shvu that this wood table is made out of wood. It's interesting to point out that a very common shvu that we've identified, which is shvu's milva, where somebody is approached and says, you owe me money, and he denies falsely owing the money, is sort of not mentioned in the Mishnah. And I saw two different approaches in the Rishonim as to why. Some Rishonim suggest that that's actually included in the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, and other Rishonim say that a Shavuos HaMilva may not necessarily make you a Choshar al Shavuah, a very big chiddush. Furthermore, Hay Ech Memesach B'Kuvya, if one of the two litigants was a person who gambled, and as we've learned, somebody who gambles is disqualified from being an aid. Two reasons the Gemara gives, but one is because Asmachta L'Kanya, whenever you gamble, you're not really sure that you're only betting because you think you're going to win. If you knew you're going to lose, you would have never gambled. That's considered an asmachta, an asmachta lekanya, and that's why he's considered like a gazlan, because it's money that really doesn't belong to him. Another explanation is she'ena oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam. Somebody who spends his days gambling is not a person that understands the ways of the world, and therefore he should not be trusted. The obvious nafkamina will be, let's say somebody gambles, but he has a job. So if the issue is a smacht lekanya, makes no difference that he has a job. If the issue is ein oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam, so he is oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam, he just gambles sometimes. Malva b'ribis, somebody who lends on ribis. Mafricha yoinim, two pshatim and mafricha yoinim. One is that they used to race birds, so again it's in the category of gambling. Another pshat is that they used to train their birds. There were people who would train their birds to attract other people's birds to their nest, so it falls into the category of gzela. The Sechri Shvius, people who do business in the Shvita year. Although, interesting, Rambam that I saw, we would assume, Poshim Pshat in the Mishnah, that's the way most Rishonim learn, somebody who violates the Halach of Shmita. The Halach is that in the Shmita year, you're not allowed to do business with the produce of Etz Yisrael, and he violates that halacha. The Rambam says just because somebody does that doesn't make him disqualified as an aid. The Rambam says, who's a Seich Rishvius? It's a person who's not in the produce business. And all of a sudden, in the Shemitah year, where there's an Issa to be in the produce business, that's when he goes into the produce business. That's particularly grievous, and that's why he's considered a Pasul aid. All of these individuals, says the Mishnah, even though, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, normally the Torah requires Nishban v'loy Mishalman. Here, since this is an individual who's unable to make a Shvua, so we flip it around, and the other litigant will make the Shvua, Shekineg the Nishba v'noytel. The other litigant will make the Shvua and take whatever he claims for. Now, what will be the halacha if Shneim Cheshudim? Both litigants are disqualified from making a Shvua. Chazra Shvulim Koyim Adivir Reb Yossi. I will explain what this means. Since both of them are unable to make shvuah, yachloiku, they should divide the claim. The next case that the Mishnah mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, where the halach is nishbon v'noitlin, is chenvoni al pinkasai. Refers to a storekeeper with his book. Says the Mishnah, lo shiyoyim aloi kosav al pinkasai shatachayv li masayim zuz. It's not referring to a situation where I own a store, and you buy on credit in my store, and I approach you, and I tell you, you know, my records indicate that you owe me money, you've shopped, and you owe me money. The halacha will be, and I saw the interesting tshuva from Tzitz Eliezer, people who buy in credit in the old-fashioned grocery stores where they have a book marking, and the storekeeper comes to you and says, I have a record that you owe me money. Halachically, that's not a valid piece of evidence. Rather, what is the situation? Ella, I'm a ten lebanaisim chitin. Somebody approaches the storekeeper and says, do me a favor, give my son a measure of wheat and I'll pay you. Or, Tangle Pali Salamos, somebody's an employer, and he asked the storekeeper to please lay out the salary that he owes his employee, and I'll pay you back for the money you laid out for me. And then, Hu Oimer, the storekeeper says, Nosati, I did what you said, and therefore you owe me for the sasayim, chitin I gave your son, for the salary I laid out on your behalf. The Hain Oimrim, but the son or the employee says, Loi Natalnu, we never got what we were supposed to. Here Aloch is, Hu Nishba V'Noitel, the storekeeper swears that he gave what he was supposed to, and collects, the Hain Nishba V'Noitelim, and the employee swears that he didn't get paid and takes the salary. The Tzais points out that the order of the Mishnah is very specific. Because we have two shvuos here, says the Tzais that the order is the first the storekeeper swears and then the employee swears. Why? Because if we think about it, and we'll discuss this more in a moment, the claim of the employee is a much stronger claim than the claim of the storekeeper. Because the employee certainly did his job, and he's certainly entitled to a salary. The storekeeper, we don't have any evidence that he did what he was supposed to, and therefore, since the chiyuv shvua of the storekeeper is a greater chiyuv, he has to swear first. Ask the Rishonim, why can't the employer tell to the chenveni, you made a mistake. You should have made sure to pay the employees in front of Edom. And if you were paid in front of Edom, if the workers would now come and say they never got paid, you could bring the Edom to show and say that he did get paid. By you not doing your job properly and not paying in front of Edom, you, so to speak, messed me up. And we have a concept throughout Halacha, L'takuni shidaticha v'loy la'afsi. When I appoint a shlich, I expect him to do what's good for me, not what's bad for me. Answer the Rishonim, interesting teretz, that just like the employer can make this claim to the storekeeper could say back to the employer, if that's what you wanted, why don't you tell me? If you wanted me to play your employees strictly in front of Edom to avoid this kind of problem, you should have given me such instruction. And the fact that you never gave me such instructions, now you can't come back with a taina, why didn't I do it? The Rishayim, the Ritva, also discuss, why does the Mishnah have to mention two cases? We have two cases, both a case of the son getting produce, and the case of employee getting salary, that actually teaches the same din. Says the Ritva, if we think about the cases, they're very different. Because in the case of the employee, there are going to be two shvuos, and this person, the employer, is going to end up paying double. He's going to have to give the chenveni, and he's going to have to give the workers. But in the case of the son, the sons won't get anything. He decided he wants to give his son chitin. He's not obligated to give his son chitin. So now that this situation occurred, he indeed is going to have to reimburse the chenveni. He won't have to give his son anything. So maybe we were saying, just pay the chenveni, and you won't have to pay your son anything anyway. Still, you have to make a shvua. So then the question is, so just tell us the case of the son, and we'll understand in the other case. No, because it goes back to what I discussed a moment ago. In the case of the employee, the employer has an obligation to pay the employee. So we would think that the employee shouldn't have to make a shvua, because he's entitled to a salary. And if there's no proof that he got his salary, he maybe should get his salary even without a shvua. Kamash Malon, that even though he did the work, and even though he's entitled to the salary, still the Mishnah mandates that he should make a shvua. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that isn't this a case of shvuas heses, which only was instituted, it's Rashi and Daf Mem Chesam Beis, was only instituted generations later by Rav Nachman. It says Rashi that even though the general concept of shvuas heses was only instituted generations later, Chazal, under certain circumstances, like our Mishnah, instituted it earlier also, in time of the Mishnah. Amar Bananas, so disagrees Bananas with this Pesach, and he says, if both of these people make a Shvuah, somebody's going to be lying. Actually, the Rishonim said that the wording of the Mishnah should be Shvu Sheker, not Shvu Shof. And that's an untenable situation. Ella, therefore, Paskin's bananas, who night the Shleib Shvua, the Hey night the Shleib Shvua. Other way of understanding bananas is going back to what I said a moment ago. The workers are certainly entitled to their salary. And therefore, bananas finds it difficult to understand that Chazal would say that the workers, in order to be able to collect their salary, have to swear. That's unfair. Amal Chendini, continues the Mishnah. Somebody says to a storekeeper, Tenli b'dinah peiros, give me a dinner worth of fruit. V'nasanloi. And he gives him the fruit. And now the storekeeper tells the customer, Tenli us a dinner. Give me the dinner that you owe me. Amaloi. And the customer says to the storekeeper, Nasatilov, I've already given it to you. Nasati Mepalin, you put it into your cash register. Yishbe Balabais Yeshava. He should swear, Yeshava Balabais should not lay us a dinner. He should swear to that effect. Amaloi, another situation. Tenli is a Paris. Give me the fruit that you owe me. And the storekeeper says, I already gave them to you. And you've taken them home. Here, Yishav HaChenveni. Here, the Chenveni swears that he gave it to him, and he's free. So again, who's the one that swears, according to the Tanakhama? The one that swears is always the person in possession. That means in the first case, he is in possession of the money, the customer, so he swears. And in the second case, he's in possession, and that's why he swears. Yehuda disagrees. And swearing isn't required. Next case. Somebody tells a banker, give me, change for me a dinner into smaller coins. And he indeed does so. And now he says, the banker says to the customer, tell me it's a dinner, give me the big coin. And the customer says to the banker, money changer. The Sati Vlach, I've already given it to you. When the Sati Ben Pailin, you put it into your cash register. Yeshava Balabais, he should swear to that effect. And he doesn't have to give him a dinner. On the other hand, Nasanlai as a dinner, if the customer gives the money changer the dinner, the Bitcoin, and now he says to the banker, I'm like Tanli Samas, give me my small coins. Amalai, and the banker says to him, the Sativlach, I've given them to you, Vishaft Vishlachtam Vatach Gisecha, and you already have taken these coins into your packet, Vishav Shulchani. The Shulchani should swear that he has done so, and he won't have to give him the small coins again. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, ain't derech Shulchani leaken Isra'at Shittal dinner. There's no reason for a Shvuah, because we could be certain that the Shulchani would have not have given the dinner, would have not have given the small coins until he got the big coins, and therefore, once he's given the small coins, that's a raya that the customer gave first the big coin. And as we'll see in the Gemara, on Daf Mem Ches, I believe, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Huda does not treat the case of a money changer similarly to the way he treats the case of a storekeeper. Because in the case of a storekeeper, it's likely that somebody's going to sell produce on credit, especially if he's concerned that the produce is going to get spoiled. On the other hand, a money changer, money never goes out of style. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that he gave it on credit. And if he gave him if he got the small coins, that's a riot that the storekeeper already got the big coin. Continues the Mishnah. Shem Shomer, just like we learned, Masechta Ksubas. Habegemes Ksubas Lo Tifra El Bishvua. Even though a woman is holding on to a Ksuba, and she is therefore entitled to collect the Ksuba, but if she claims that she already got partial payment, she only could collect the remainder of the Ksuba with a Shvua. Or, Ve'ed Echad Mi'ida Shipurua. If an Eid Echad testifies that this Ksuba is paid up, the Aloch is Lo Tifra El Bishvua. Or, if somebody collects a ksuba payment from the Chosim Shubadim, or if somebody collects a ksuba payment from Nichsei Yisaimim, in all of these cases we learned the Masechet Ksubas, that the halacha is like Tifra El B'Shvua, collection can only be made with a Shvua. Similarly, Hanifras, Vanifras Shle B'Fonof, if a woman is collecting ksuba when her husband isn't there, in other words, if a couple, Rahman Slan, gets divorced, but the husband is not here, the husband's overseas, he sent her a get from overseas, and she's collecting a ksuba payment, the halach is like Tifra El Bishwa. The Kain, Hayusaimim, the same thing, Hayusaimim, La Yifru El Bishwa, only pay with a shvua. What is the shvua that they make? The shvua that they make is shvua shloi pekadnu abba, that we didn't receive instructions from a father. Shloi amalo abba shloi metzina ben shterasus shta abba shtaza perua. We never heard that our father, that this shtar that we're taking out of our father's, I guess, files, documents, that was paid up. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, says Rabbi Yochanan and Breika. It's one thing, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, that a certain son should make a shvua that he didn't hear instructions from his father when the son was alive, when the father was alive. But why would be the halacha if the son was born after the father was died? The son is not able to make, is not able to say what his father told him because they never coexisted. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, I feel not a ben lach misas af. He should make a shvua that to the best of his knowledge, this has never been paid. Harez a nishba v'naitel. Amma, Rav Shimon Gamliel. However, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, im yesh edim, if one could bring edim, sh'amar av b'shas sosoi, that they were there as the father was passing away. And his father said, sh'tazay in a perua, be aware that this document, this loan document, he's the malva, obviously, is not paid up. The halach is that even though we just said Yisraim have to make a shvua, here the Yisraim will not need to make a shvua. Who neitel the Yosim takes without a shvua. Ve'el nishbon shleibistayna. Normally, when is a shvua made? If we have a din Torah, and you have two litigants, and under certain circumstances, certainly when we get to daf mem hey himself the shvus, we know this, the halach is that the chazal or the Torah mandates a shvua. Certain times the shvua goes automatic, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. Hashutfim, partners, varisim, a sharecropper, vatropim is a administrator of your Simon fund, v'isha hanaisanis v'nasanis b'teichabayis, an almana, a widow who's administering the estate of a deceased husband, even though she's not a yerush, or ben abayis, or let's say there are a number of sons, but one son is the executor of the estate. I'm lemata teneni. With Sani Shatishbali, why you have any complaint to me? You have to swear. Chayif. Cholka Shutfim Varisim. If the partners or the Oris now dissolve the relationship, and now he wants a Shvur, it's too late. Any Yachal Ashbiyai. Nizgalga Lo Shvur Mimakam Acher. If a Shvur is here from another place that he's obligated to make a shvur. We spoke the other day about the concept of the gigal shvur, but gagal also call. In other words, even though the Mishnah just taught us that once the partnership or the relationship is dissolved, you can no longer demand a shvur, but if for whatever reason they're going to have a situation between themselves where a shvur will be legislated, they'll already swear on the other shvurs that normally they couldn't require. But shvi is mishametz as a shvur, which means as follows. We just learned in the previous year that shvi is shmita cancels all loans. If there's a shvua that's obligated because of a loan, so just like the shmita cancels the loan, the shmita also cancels any shvua obligation that comes because of a loan. Says the Gemara, we began the Mishnah, Manolan, where do we know that the normal situation is that Nishban v'lo Mishalman, Damakrav lokach balav v'lo Yishalim. Misha Olav L'Shalim, the one that normally would have to swear, Loi Shvur. And the way the Rishonim, Rashi says it a little, the Kitzer, other Rishonim said it a little more at length, as follows. The Pasuk already says, Shvurs Hashem Tir Ben Shneim Im Loi Sholach Yodei B'Melechus Re'ehu. So the Torah says already that when a Shvur is required by Shomrim, who makes the Shvur? The Shomer makes the Shvur, and by him making a Shvur, he'll be exempt from any responsibility. So why does the Torah say another pasuk, the lokach balav, the balim, the owner of this object, this is still a pasuk by Shomrim, accept the shvu v'lo yishalom. The shomer doesn't have to pay. We already learned that the shomer swears he doesn't have to pay. So we have a derech halimut. Em ein inyal davzeh tnei ledavar acher. So the pasuk isn't coming to teach us a din regarding shvuos hashomerim, because that we already learned from the pasuk of shvuos hashem tibei shneim. This pasuk v'lochah balav lo yishalom therefore comes to teach us that by all shvuos midoraisa the loch is nishbon v'lo misham. Says the Gemara. So if we just learned, Ve'elu Nishbon V'Noitlu, so we just finished learning quite a lengthy Mishnah that identified all the situations where Chazal said Nishbon V'Noitlim instead of Nishbon V'Loi Mishalmim. And the first example we learned in our previous year was a Socher, that an employee swears that he didn't get paid and he collects his wages. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ishna Socher the Tekinu Lo Rabban and the Mishtab of Shokel, why did Chazal make this rule? Arav Yehuda Mishmul Halachas Gedoy L'Shanukad. This is a big halacha. Ask the Gemara that wherever the Gemara uses the word halacha, it means halacha Moshe Sinai. Halachas? Ask the Gemara, Hani Hirchseninu? Is this halacha Moshe Sinai that you're using the word halachas? Therefore, says the Gemara, we really should say Takonas Gedoy L'Shanukad. It's a great rule that Chazal instituted. Ask the Gemara, Gedolus B'chladik Ktanis. As the Rishonim point out, the Gemara is focusing on the word Kan. We who learn through Shas know that essentially almost every daf in Shas has a Takana. So why did the Gemara say Kan? That this is a Takana, to exclude all other Takanas. We have a myriad amount of Takanas. Elam of Nachman Amishmu, Takanas Kavush Shonu Kan. What is Takanas Kavush? So I saw a number of Pshatim. One Pshat is, Kavush is like a Lashon of uprooted. Chazal took the shvur that should have been made, shvur v'loy mishbalmin, and made a shvur and shvur v'noitlin. Another pshat, takanas kavus, is that Bezdin was instructed to act differently than a normal situation. A kruv abonim was shvur m'balabais. If we were to follow Torah rule, the employer would swear that he paid and he would be off the hook. V'shedju asochem shnim k'tei chayiv. And they turned it around and said that because we're concerned, and we're going to discuss this more in a second, about the employee, he should make the shvur and collect the salary. I actually saw interesting machlokes with Shoyim. Again, nowadays it's illegal. But in the time of Chazal, children worked. So what would be the halacha if you have a child working and the child claims to his boss, I didn't get paid? Here we're learning that if an employee claims he didn't get paid, he makes a shvur and collects a salary. What would be the halacha by a child? So some Rishonim take the obvious approach, a child's shvur is a meaningless shvur. Other Rishonim say no. Here a child will swear and be able to collect his salary. I what pshat? Children swearing? The answer is, as Al Gemara just taught us, the concept here is k'dei chayof. They were worried, and as I said, we're going to explain it more in a second, about the situation of the worker. And therefore, even though throughout halacha, as we've learned, a child shvur is meaningless, here a child shvur will be considered valid. Ask the Gemara. Mishum k'tei chayiv the socher, just because we're worried about the employee's salary, k'tsinale le balabayis, we're going to make the balabayis accept the shvur and pay the salary. Answers the Gemara. The Balabais can live with such a situation because he's looking that people should be anxious to work for him. Ask the Gemara, Adarabba, we can make a contrary argument. The worker may be more satisfied that the employer should swear, for nifka, and even though I mean that if the Balabais swears, he won't get a salary, but he's anxious that the employer should hire him. Otherwise, nobody will ever hire him. Says the Gemara, Balabais al-Korchi Agar. You can't have a business without a worker. Socher, and that's why the Balabais is going to be accepting this type of situation. Ask the Gemara, Socher nami al-Korchi Mitka. Everybody needs a job. Ella, says the Gemara, Balabais tar b'palav. Balabais is busy. He has workers. And since he has workers, so he doesn't always remember whom he paid, what he paid, and therefore we're more likely to accept the word of the worker than the word of the employer. So as the Rishonim explained, we're actually now combining two concepts. We're combining the concept of Kedei Chayov coupled with the concept of Torah B'Payalov. And of course the Rishonim also say, you can make that statement of Torah B'Payalov when somebody has a big business. He has a lot of workers. Why won't be the halacha if you have a small business with one worker? So that's not such a big headache. So the Rishonim say, look, plug. Chazal can't start making different rules for different businesses. And they accept the concept of Baal Bayis Torah B'Payalov. Ask the Gemara, if we're so worried, Kedei Chayov, coupled with the concept that we just identified of Torah Pa'alav, so why can't the worker collect his salary if he says he didn't get paid even without a Shvuah? Answers the Gemara, Kedei Lahav Status Baal Bayis. We want to appease him. How do we appease him? By getting him a Shvuah. Ask the Gemara, V'leis L'Bei Edom, and as the Rishonim explain, aren't Edom a better way of guaranteeing and knowing? Edom, Apishne Edom Yachm David, the Torah says. So aren't Edom the best way of establishing a fact? One way of Rishonim explain. Another way of explaining, very appropriate to what we've been learning, Chazal always want us to avoid a Shvuah. So sometimes it's unavoidable. Here, we have another Eitzah. Get Edom. So why did Chazal say make a Shvuah? Why not just approach Edom? Answers the Gemara Trichlei Milsa. To have to, every time you pay your employee, you have to get Edom, it's complicated. Ask the Gemara, V'leis Lemi Kara. This is only an issue as the day goes on. So as the day goes on, the boss gets busy. In the morning, he should pay his workers first thing in the morning. Answers the Gemara, Shneim Reitz Bakafa. This is one of the things that the employee and the employer are satisfied only to get paid at the end of the day, or at the end of the job. Why? Two reasons. Let's take each perspective. The employer is happy because the morning, he doesn't have any cash. As the day goes on, he gets money from his customers. So it's hard for him to make any expenditures in the morning. The employee prefers to get paid at the end of the day for two reasons. Number one, during the day he may spend the money. By the time he comes home at night, he won't have anything to give his wife. One problem. Another problem is, if he has the money in his pocket all day, there's a chance he'll lose the money. He's preoccupied with his job, and the money will fall out of his pocket. So he's more satisfied to get paid at the end of the day. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Afil Katsutsunami, if this is the right reasoning, that we have this concept of Baal Bayis Torah, and we have this concept of Kedei Chayov, then why, Alam Tanya, why did we learn in a Braisa? Umen Oymishtayim Katsatsdali. There's a dispute between the employee and the employer. And actually, Rishonim point out that our Gemara is telling us something very important. That the relationship that we're discussing in our Mishnah is not only by somebody who's your employee, gets paid a salary, but even somebody who's an Uman, who gets paid by the job, the same halachas will apply. And the halacha is, Uman Oymen Shtayim Kutstatzdali. He says that you made up to pay me, whatever, two. V'aloy amalok Kutstatzdali halachas. And he says, no, I made up to pay you only half what you claim. Here halacha is, Amatz Mechavera Olivaraya. So, why didn't we say that we always believe the employee more than employer? Answers the Gemara, Tzitza Vadi Mitgadokale. You may not necessarily remember in the hustle bustle of the day if you did or didn't pay your worker, but you'll always remember what you made up to pay him. Ask the Gemara, if so, Ihocha of Zman and Nami, there's a din, a very important halacha. One is obligated to pay his worker. By when must you pay your worker? Stam, just to review the halacha. If somebody works for you by the day, unless you stipulated when you hire him that there's going to be a different arrangement, if he works by day, you have to pay him before the next morning. If he works by night, you have to pay him before the next night. Interesting shaila that I saw, machloikis apoiskim. Let's say somebody gets paid day by day. Again, it's not very common in our world. So let's say somebody works on Friday. So we just said that by when do you have to get paid? By the next morning. The next morning is Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning you don't pay. So what's the halacha? So some Paiskim say there's no obligation until Sunday morning because you can't expect someone to pay on Shabbos. So he has a chance to pay till Sunday morning. Chafetz Chaim disagrees. Chafetz Chaim paskins that he has to get paid before Shabbos. Alom etanya, of his manoi, if the time has passed by when you had to pay your worker, harezen nois v'loy nosen loy, and the worker claims that he wasn't paid, the halach is harezen eninish b'vanoitel. There's no reason for him, he doesn't make a shvur, the employer is believed. Why? Because chazak ein balbayis over b'solen. We know that every Jew, every religious Jew, is careful to pay his workers on time. So if now the time has passed by when he had to get paid, we could be sure that he paid his worker. Then we just say, v'amr balbayis tar b'payalef, that he gets busy, and because he gets busy, he might have forgotten to pay. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili become the limti zamni, zman chiyuva. Before he had to pay, so he doesn't have that obligation, that chiyuv about solon pressuring him. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't pay. However, kimata zman chiyume, once the time that the Torah obligates him to pay comes, rami and nafshi mitke, he's certainly going to fulfill what he has to. Ask Taisus the obvious question. We now severely limited our entire discussion, the Mishnah, the Gemara. It's only the din that the Mishnah said that Socher, Nishba, Venaitel swears and collects if the time of Baal Solon hasn't come, which is usually a max of 12 hours. So why doesn't every employer just wait till after that time and there won't be any Nishba, Venaitel? So what's pshat that we have this whole case of Nishba, Venaitel? Says Taisus a very interesting teretz. Where is the Braisa teaching us the din of Nishba v'Noitel doesn't apply? Says Taisus, where the entire claim of the employee only began after the Zman of Baal Tolin. So our Gemara, our Braisa just taught us, the pressure of doing the mitzvah properly makes us know that the employer paid properly. But let's say, before the Zman of Baal Tolin came, there was already a dispute between this boss and this worker. And now, they continue arguing past the Zman. Once the Chiyuv Shvur began, the fact that it's after the Zman Baal Tolin doesn't take away the Chiyuv Shvur. Continues the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, V'chisachar over Mishim Baal Tolin, Baal Sigzo, are we concerned that the Socher is going to be over Daver Baal Tolin and claim his work, claim something that he's not entitled to? And says the Gemara, why do we believe the employer after this man about Tolin more than the employee? Answers the Gemara, Gaba Balabayas Ikatre Chazaki. The Balabayas have two reasons to believe him. Chodr, as we just finished explaining, then a Balabayas over Baal Solid. For Oid, we could assume that the boss pays. You know why? Normally, your workers don't let you get away with it. He doesn't have those two chazakas, and that's why if it's after the Zman of Baal Tolin, we believe the employer more than the employee. Rishonim ask, why is the Gemara only concerned about the Baal Tigzel of the worker? There's Baal Tigzel of the employer also, if he doesn't pay his salary. So Rishonim say, the employer doesn't differentiate between Baal Tolin and Baal Tigzel. That's one teretz I saw the Rishonim. Another teretz I saw the Rishonim, that the employee, Baal Tigzel, is a bigger Baal Tigzel than the employer's. Why? He's actually taking money he's not deserving. He's Sheval Taisa, and we know an Aveir that's Kuvasei is always a bigger Aveir than Sheval Taisa. Aram Nachman, Amishmu, Lo Yishonel Shesach Be'edim. This entire discussion that we're having is when the employer hired them in front of Edom. Avos Socher Shlebi Edom, if they were hired without Edom. B'tach Shiach Alom Eloi, since the boss always has the ability to say, he has the smigui of saying, Lo Yisachatichem Olam, I never even hired you in the first place. Then he has the right to say, Yochalayim leschartich of nusati leschartcha. Ask the Rishon, what's he telling us? Well, we haven't learned. We learned the concept of migui many times in our shiurim. The answer in this story, the Rishonim learned the entire piece of Gemara, is that we're learning that this is a migui de ha'oza, that a migui de ha'oza is considered a valid migui. Amar Yitzchak Yashim. He said, your psak is a great psak. The chen amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so did Rabbi Yochanan. So we had this Gemara the other day. Mechlal, by saying that Rabbi Yochanan held this way, is he implying the polygaloi Rish Lakish, the Rish Lakish disagreed? Ikad Amri, not necessarily Rish Lakish disagreed. Rather, Mishtav Shasalei, he was drinking as this, as Rabbi Yochanan said, the psak, and that's why he didn't want to speak with a full mouth, Vishasaklei, and he was quiet. Rabbi Yitzchak interpreted to mean Rish Lakish was disagreeing. He wasn't disagreeing, he just wasn't talking because he was drinking. Ikad Amri, Mishtav Shasalei, Rabbi Rish Lakish never commented. Never interrupted somebody. So he didn't comment until Rabbi Yochanan finished saying what he had to say. And Yitzchak left the room before Rish Yochanan had to finish to say what he had to say. And therefore he wasn't able to know what Rish Lakish held. Itmanami, Amrav Nash Bezvid, Amrav. Lo Yishanos Sachar Be'edim. Avol Sachar Shloi Be'edim. If this employee was hired without Edim. B'tosh Yochalom Eloi. Lo Yishachar Ticham Eilam. Yochalom leischa ticha v'nasati leischa. Omer Rami Bachama, kama malya hashmatza. This halacha you just taught us is wonderful. Omer Rava, my malyusa. Let's think about it. Why is this so great? In Cain, we discussed earlier in the shiur the concept of shuas shomer. That if somebody is a shomer and something happens, a shomer chinam or shomer sachar, we've learned that at times they have to make a shua. The Chayiv Rechmona, that the Torah teaches us that they have to make a shvua at certain times. Hech Mishkachslo, where will there ever be a shvua or shomerim? Why don't we say that since the shomer has always the option, the migui, of saying, Mitach Yochalayim Eloi, Loi Hayot Varam Eloilim, you never gave anything to me in the first place. Yochalayim Eloi, Nansu, says the Gemara Gevaldik Chiddush. You know what? The Pasha of Shuras HaShomerim was only said if Gleb Eidim. Where there are Eidim that you're a Shomer, and therefore you have no Migui to say Lahay Dvar Ma'olam. The Torah, Gif Gleb Eidim, asked the Gemara, B'Torah Shiachalam Leich Sa'at Eloi, why can't the Shomer say, why can't we say a Migui? That since the Shomer always has the option to say, I returned it, we should believe him when he says Nentzu. Yochalom Eloi Nentzu, answers the Gemara, Dafkele B'Shtara. He can't say I returned it, because the owner has a shtar from the Shomer saying that it was given to him with a shtar, and the owner still holds on to the shtar. Says the Gemara, Michlal, obviously based on this Gemara, we see here, the Tavayis Sfirle, Hamaskar Eitzel Chaver Be'edim, and Tzarech U'achzer Loi Be'edim. If there were Edom, you don't have to return it with Edom. However, if you give it to them b'shtar, we always have the problem of why are you still holding the shtar, and that's why Tzar lachs about Edom. Karla Rav Kamalei Dosheshes, V'yosim David as a dvar me'ela b'liboy. He wanted to know, what is the halacha? The Ashkech Rav Sheshes v'Rabbi Shmuel. Omlei, tonim ma'amidi b'sachar. Did you learn anything regarding the halacha of workers? Amalei in. Tanina. Socher bezmanoi nishbe v'noipo. What does that mean? If keitzad. Bezman shamalei. If the employee says, chatani, v'loi nosata lischari. You hired me without giving me my salary. V'loi amalei. And the boss says, schatich v'nosata lischari. That's when we have the halacha of nishbe v'noipo. Aval amalei. If the employee says, Shtaim Kutzatz Tala, Ram Lama, and the employer says, Lo Kutzatz Tala Achas, then Allah will be a much mechaver l'raya. Says the Gemara, Hamid Reisha, if we see that the last case requires raya, Reisha seems to be loy raya. Says the Gemara, no. Amar of Nachma, it's Reisha b'sefer b'raya. You need a raya in both cases. Even though it says Nishba v'noito, he has to bring Edom, the Lashalim Ketani, Raya the Lashalim, bring Edom that you paid Ketani. Raya the Shvua. In other words, the Raya that the Balabas has to pay by bringing Edom, the Brisa refers to. The Raya of Shvuah, which only comes to be Mechayiv, other Shvuahs, that we don't discuss. Like Tanya.